The sight of Australian journalists fleeing home from China has set tensions between the two countries up a notch. The authoritarian and increasingly powerful nation clearly wants to be free of the kind of comment and oversight that foreign journalists provide. With no eyes in China, it becomes a walled and unreadable, threatening world power. China analyst Paul Monk says it's a pivotal moment in a downward slide in the relationship between Australia and China.
The whole environment in which we've been operating, and which is required if one is to operate on a normal and mutually agreed basis, is disintegrating, and it's the direct result of what you would have to call paranoia and bellicosity on the part of the Xi Jinping regime. It's not because of what we're doing.
So you don't think Australian government can be blamed in any way for upping the tensions, because a lot of commentators are saying that they've made some pretty false moves ever since Turnbull and the Huawei decision?
I disagree strongly with that, I've got to say. I mean, we have to, instead of thinking of China and Australia as two countries on a level playing field whose rules are much the same, and then there's been a misunderstanding or there's been some kind of unfairness and so there's offence been taken. But understand that the Communist Party in China, particularly under Xi Jinping, has a very clear strategic agenda. And within that agenda, its goal has been, this is not imagination, this is declaratory, to detach us from the US alliance and subordinate us to a Chinese-led order in Asia. What we've said is, I'm sorry, we're not up for that. We're very happy to trade with you. We mean no offence. We wish the Chinese people well, but we will not detach ourselves from our traditional allies, and we will not kowtow to Beijing, particularly because of the kind of regime that rules there. And they're taking offence at that. Well, I mean, we're not, you know, we'd be crazy to say, oh, you're offended. Oh, well then, sorry, we'll take all that back and we'll just kowtow. No way. That's not negotiable.
A lot of the talk about the connection that China has been making with Australia has been about the kind of soft power things, like students, for example, the enormous business we make out of Chinese students. Surely that threatens any of their soft ambitions in Australia to harden things up like they are at the moment?
They've spent years developing their soft power presence in Australia. You know, the legislation we passed on Malcolm Turnbull to push back a bit against Chinese influence operations was entirely warranted, and to their consternation, I think to some extent their shock, what they've discovered is that their years of penetration and infiltration are at risk of coming to nothing, and they're really, to use the vernacular, pissed off about that. They haven't lost that yet because they actually still have many friends in Australia, but what they're doing is petulant and ill-advised. If they wanted to win over the Australian public and more of the Australian middle class or intelligentsia, they're going about it exactly the wrong way. And those of us who are concerned about China's broader strategy are actually quietly heartened by their behaviour, because it's drawing the lines really clearly and it's them that's doing it. We're just being appropriate.
So how much is what's happening at the moment in the last couple of days got to do with Cheng Lei, and why is she so important in this picture? Because people are really not clear. Like, she works pretty straightforwardly within China. She didn't seem to be a dissident journalist or anything. What's going on there?
That's correct. And you know, I've been talking, needless to say, with well-placed friends about this last few days, and the consensus among us is we don't yet know why she has been arrested. Characteristically, the party arrests her, says we have national security implications, concerns, but doesn't disclose what exactly they are and in what way Cheng Lei is supposed to have upset them. And so she's in jail while they interrogate her. She can't get support or assistance. She's treated, being of Chinese extraction, differently, pardon me, to what the Chinese call round eyes, you know, those like us who are not Chinese. Though that's beginning to change, as we've seen with Canadian and detainees and others in recent years. But if you're of Chinese extraction, like Cheng Lei or Yang Hengjun, who's been languishing in the Chinese townland for many months and is accused of espionage, then you have no defence in China, and it's becoming increasingly dangerous to try and operate there under anything like normal expectations.
What would your advice be for the many Australians in Hong Kong?
Certainly, as somebody with an intelligence background and who publicly challenges the Chinese Communist Party and has done so for years, it would now be very imprudent of me to visit Hong Kong or China at all. I could not speak for my safety, and if detained, there would be almost nothing that that the Australian government could do. That's the reality of the situation. So I said, if you're a business person working in Hong Kong or in China, you know how to look to your personal security in a way that you didn't have to before. And these are all signs of a deeply concerning deterioration in the behaviour of the Chinese regime, which we had hoped for many years was finally and slowly joining the rest of the world and could be a responsible partner and a respected player on the world scene. The way it's behaving, that's not now on offer. And where we're heading from here, well, that's very much open to question.
China analyst Dr. Paul Monk.